Welcome to the Easy Yoga Podcast with myself, Gemma Neese, Easy Yoga founder, author, yoga coach, and relationship coach. It is my pleasure to have you here and for you to feel energized, calm, happy, and for you to have the perfect relationship with yourself, your partner, and your family without seeing a family therapist, changing your personality, or leaving your job. You will learn techniques and things to help you guide you through a better life through health, meditation, yoga, journaling, nutrition, and all things yoga, for you to have the life you deserve and crave, and for you to love yourself on a soul level. Thank you so, so much for being here today, and I am so grateful and so full of love to have you here. Enjoy this next episode. Hello everyone and welcome back to another episode from Easy Yoga, all things relationships, yoga and well-being. And today my special guest is Isabella Murray, and Isabella is a UK-based online personal trainer and fitness influencer known as the No Bullshit Fitness Trainer. I love that, by the way. She's gained a following online by providing evidence-based fitness advice and debunking myths to help individuals have a healthier relationship with fitness and food, and with a focus on mindset, habits, and sustainable lifestyle changes. So welcome. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited.
Oh, that's all right. Yeah, I'm really excited to have you on and learn loads of stuff as well. How did you kind of get into what you do now?
Yeah, so I got into it based on personal experience. So it wasn't like something I've always thought about doing. You know, I've got a degree in marketing and I've worked in the private sector and public sector for marketing. But whilst doing that, I developed like kind of like a love for fitness.
Yeah.
But I realized that all the advice I was taking online was incorrect. For example, I was following workouts online that were saying, do this workout to get abs in 2 weeks and you get a flat stomach in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
And at the time, I didn't know that. That was just, am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay, cool. I didn't know it was total bullshit. So I would do these workouts consistently and I just wouldn't get these results they were promising, and they were showing like before and after pictures, which I didn't know people would fake.
Yeah.
I was just started to hate my body because I was like, oh, so I'm the problem?
Yeah.
I've restricted my calories. I'm doing these workouts like 10 times a day instead of once a day. Why am I not getting these results? So I just started to hate myself. I was like, something wrong with my body.
Yeah.
And I would like just look in the mirror and I was just like, hold my skin, which I thought was fat at the time. And I was like, I just don't understand why is my waist not shrinking? If they're saying my waist is going to shrink.
Yeah.
And then, like, one day I was just like touching my body and I was like, my bone is there.
Wow.
Like my waist is not going to get any smaller because that's my bone.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I was like, hold on. Why has no one told me this? Like, why don't these influencers tell you this?
Yeah.
And then I was just like learning and educating myself. And I just realized that all of these YouTube workouts are just a whole load of crap, really.
Yeah.
And they're just doing it for clickbait and for views.
Yeah.
And for example, like lean legs in 21 days. It's impossible to build muscle in 21 days. And
yeah.
You know what I mean, it's just like everything just goes against the human body. And it just made me hate my body. And then it just clocked to me that someone else is going to feel that way too.
Yeah.
Exactly. And like online, You know, everyone's desperate to get a following now because of how much money you can make.
Yeah.
And there's just so many people just spreading misinformation. Like, there are people online telling you the fruit is harmful for you.
Yes.
Like, do you know what I mean? And like, spinach.
That drives me insane.
Yeah, like spinach is like toxic. And I'm just like, what on earth?
No.
It's just absolutely stupid. And just for me, I've like now made it my life mission to educate as many people as I can, because I don't want anyone to feel the way that I do.
Yeah.
And, you know, luckily for me, it didn't turn to anything more than that. But for some people, it can turn to an eating disorder. It can turn to body dysmorphia. It can turn to, you know, mental health problems. And if I can do something to prevent that, then that's what I'm going to do. And I feel like education is key when it comes to this.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because if you understand how the human body works, if you see something like online and you know it's not true because now you understand the human body, it won't get to you. So I just think, yeah, that's the reason why I want to do it. I just want to help people.
Yeah.
And just kind of heal everyone.
Yes.
that's so true. No. Like, I just want to heal everyone. It's just, yeah. It's just sad, isn't it? All the misinformation there is online. And I'm pretty sure even you've probably come across it, haven't you? And like your news stories.
Yeah, definitely. And I read actually, I read Women's Health magazine. And actually, I don't know how you feel about this, but on one of the articles, the editor, Claire Sanderson, I think her name is, she had gone to a retreat last year that was like I read it last night and why can't I think of it? A starvation, not that word, but yeah, for like 4 days or maybe 8 days or something like that. I'm like, oh my word. But it says, and she states quite a lot, you should not do this if you have an eating disorder or if that you somehow, might think that you have an eating disorder. I'm thinking, oh, this is like a proper women's magazine targeted to us, that as in like our age group. And I just thought, I'm not sure about that, but it was a good read. But I thought, I don't know, that's going to trigger a lot of people. And she came away and she was like, this is amazing, but you then start to pile on your weight again. Like she lost, I think, 4 pounds or maybe 8 pounds, something like that, but that wasn't her goal. It was like to cleanse herself out. But I just thought, I don't know, but I'm not scientifically based that way, so I don't know. But I thought, okay.
How do you react? I'm generally so shocked. See, that's just lack of education, because when you go 4 days without eating, I don't even have to start with this. You go 4 days without eating, you lose weight. That doesn't mean body fat.
Yeah.
Weight and body fat is two separate things. Weight can be water weight. It can be hormones. It can be medication. It can be constipation, bloating. So obviously you're going to automatically put it back on once you start eating and drinking again.
Yeah.
It's just unsustainable, unnecessary, and unhealthy and toxic.
Yeah.
I can't believe it. It's a thing. It's probably one of the retreats that are called like a cleanse or something.
Yeah.
It's probably called one of those things. Yeah. It's just like, obviously you're going to put the weight back on.
Yeah.
It just makes no sense, and stuff like that is really worrying. I've personally have also seen a lot of misinformation in Women's Health magazine as well.
I love that magazine, but sometimes I'm thinking maybe you can.
it's just really worrying. It's just sad that that's been promoted. That's actually don't do that, guys. Don't do that. You're not going to see results, and you can't actually lose body fat in 4 days.
No, this
is not how the human body works.
Yeah. So if someone was to kind of start a fat loss journey, like a weight loss journey, and thinking like, now we're in summer, as much as the weather isn't great at the moment, well, it is, but it's not warm. It's like, right, okay, I want to wear a strappy top, or I want to wear this nice summer dress, but I feel a little bit podgy around the edges. And how would someone start a weight loss journey?
So the first thing I say to people is that you need to refer to it as a fat loss journey instead of a weight loss journey, because when it comes to weight loss, people automatically will just stand on the scale, bathroom scale, and wait for that number to drop. But the thing is, even if you're losing fat, that number may not drop. So I just say to people, the first thing you need to do is refer to it as a fat loss journey instead of weight loss, because you don't want to become obsessed with the number on the scale, because it actually doesn't mean anything, and it's always going to fluctuate. It's going to fluctuate during the day. It's even going to fluctuate even if you have lost fat. So just like start referring to it as a fat loss journey. And what I do for beginners, I actually have a free fat loss course on my website that gives them the fundamentals. So I'll say to people, you know, like educate yourself before you start on the difference between fat and weight. And nutrition, being that there isn't any food that's good or bad. Food isn't healthy or unhealthy. You see a lot of like fitness influencers on social media say this is a healthy meal inspo, but in reality, food isn't good or bad. So I think it's just to first focus on that mindset and understanding before you actually start, because you don't want to look at something and be like, oh, I can't eat that, that's bad. Oh, I can't eat that, that's good. Do you know what I mean? And you don't want to restrict yourselves. I think just having that understanding of the fundamentals first, I think it's really good for your well-being and your overall like journey. And then the key to any fat loss journey is just a calorie deficit, really. We have two types of fats in our body, really, subcutaneous and visceral fat, and they do work differently. However, to lose both, overall calorie deficit is key, which is essentially eating less calories than you burn. And you don't actually need to exercise to lose body fat, because to lose body fat, the amount of calories you need to eat is based on how much energy you spend by living. exercise doesn't actually burn that much calorie compared to everything else. So we burn calories in four different ways. This is why we say to people, education is key, because you don't want to be killing yourself at the gym. So yes, I think it's just understanding of that and just working out your calorie deficit. There's lots of calculators online. I've got one myself and I link it to calorie banking. What a lot of people do is with a calorie deficit is that when they first start it, they're not successful with it because they believe that every single day they have to eat a certain amount of calories and they can't go over it and they can't go under it, which kind of makes it, it's not sustainable. So there's a concept called like calorie banking, where instead of looking at your calories for the day, you're looking at your calories for a week and you train it kind of like a bank. So as long as you hit that weekly target, you're fine. So I think it's just about eating what you like, eat everything in moderation, and just stick to your calorie deficit as like a weekly target instead. And you can do any workout you want, anything. If you want to exercise, go for it. You can do rollerblading, you can do hula hooping, you can do swimming. There isn't a specific exercise for like overall fat loss. You can do anything. If someone says to you online, the best thing for fat loss is weightlifting, they're incorrect anyways. Just do whatever. Because if you do something you like, you're more likely to be consistent. If someone likes swimming and they have a passion for it, they're most likely to do it every single day. If you're forcing yourself to run 5 miles and you passionately hate running and you don't like your boobs swinging everywhere and you don't like your thighs craving this, then just do something you like, because consistency is key. Because you're not going to lose fat in a week, you're not going to lose fat in 2 weeks. So if you do something you like and you stick to your calorie deficit and you do it consistently, you're going to achieve whatever goal you have.
Yeah. And I think that's the same with these, what are they called, like Weight Watchers, the other one, I can't remember what that's called. But
Slimming World.
Yeah, that's the word. They both are really bad because like you've got good foods and you've got bad foods. But with those bad foods, you're automatically thinking in your mind, well, I can't have that because that's bad. So then when you come off this and you've lost that weight or whatever, they don't really work. But you then think, oh no, I can't eat that because that's bad. When it's not. Or it's called a sin or something like that. I had a client that's on it, and I just think, no, that's the wrong way to word it, because you're automatically, subconsciously thinking, well, I can't have that because that's a bad food. No foods, as you just said, are bad.
Exactly. And what worries me about programs like that is you've paid for it for yourself. But what happens is that when you let that affect your mindset, thinking that food is now good or bad and I get points and sins, you might end up having that in your conversation. So when you start speaking to people, you're going to end up pushing that belief to other people. And then more people are going to have that toxic mindset. I think about things too big, but that's how I see it.
That's true.
I'm like so against it, because I'm just like, words are so powerful. And when you start to believe like this misinformation, it is going to be a new conversation and it is going to spread. And that's why lots of people don't really understand fitness and nutrition. And just with Slimming World and Weight Watchers, it baffles me anyways. Like, for example, I think you can have a mashed banana, but you can't have a full banana, something like that, or the opposite.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, mate, when you chew it, it's going to become mashed.
And yeah.
When it goes to your stomach, it's going to be mashed. So I don't understand how
you
can have mashed, but you can't have it as full or whatever. It just that doesn't make sense. It's just, but yeah, it's just really worrying. And the reason why there's so much misinformation online is because of money.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to sell supplements because it doesn't cost that much to make and you can just price it quite high.
Yeah.
And anyone would be happy to sell supplements. You know, you can pay an influencer like $1,000, like you know, or even more, and you get them to promote it. But that's not how the human body works. And it's just such an easy market to kind of basically con people.
Yeah.
And that's just what fuels everything to it. So people kind of like look at fitness is just kind of like a physical thing, but it's also well-being and like mental health. And I just don't think people realize the effect that misinformation has on like mental health and everyone else around you. It isn't just you that you're like doing, it's literally everyone else, your circle. And if you start spreading that information online, you're just
that's true. Because when we first started going to the gym, when did we go, 2010 I think it was, well, we went to this spa before the kids, and we used to have protein shakes. And then only in the last, I don't know, 5-6 years, it's been like, why do we actually need protein shakes? We don't, because we can actually get it all from our food. And then there's so many chemicals in protein shakes, and I used to think, oh my god, they're amazing. But actually, looking at more nutrition now, it's not good, but a lot of people will say, yeah, it's great. So yeah, what's your kind of take on that?
I haven't actually heard that perspective. I think protein shakes are fine.
Yeah,
I think that is always best to get your protein first from food. If you do struggle to hit your protein intake, then like, you know, have a protein shake if you want, but I wouldn't rely on it. I think it's good. Yeah. Everyone needs a certain amount of protein a day, regardless if your goal is muscle building or not. So I think it's so important to have it in your diet. But if you need it with a if you need to have a protein shake, you can have one.
Yeah.
You can have a protein bar. I think they're fine.
Yeah.
Obviously there are like ones that have like less sugar or whatever in it, but I think it just depends on like how often you consume them. So I don't see them as bad. I just have them if you want, really. I haven't heard that perspective before, but that's good to know though, because I didn't know that's what that's a belief out there. I really didn't know that, but I think protein shakes are fine. I mean, I don't think any of them taste good, I'll tell you that.
Or that slight fake-ish taste, like to chocolate or vanilla or whatever it is. I suppose I went down that route of thinking, I'm looking at the ingredients list and there's so many chemicals or things that I can't say, and then I'm thinking, well, if I can't say them, that's a bad thing. But but then you can say that about meat, like if you don't get organic meat, there's obviously things that have been processed and stuff like that in that. So yeah, it's kind of, I don't know, a muddled area. But yeah, I do like protein shakes, definitely.
If you go through your cupboard, you're going to see stuff that you can't pronounce anyways, and like literally everything. That's why I tell people not to obsess over it, but also like the human body is literally amazing. You will excrete it, it will come out of your body anyways. It's absolutely fine. I know there's a lot of misinformation online about like artificial sweeteners and everything, about how it's like bad for you, but it's fine as well.
Yeah.
Just have everything in moderation and you're good. If you need to have a protein shake to hit your protein intake, go for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I prefer unflavored protein powder because I can flavor it in a natural way.
Yeah.
So it tastes too artificial for me. Because I think I have like some sort of like PTSD from banana flavored protein shakes. Like, oh my God, I drank them so much at uni. I can't stand the taste of banana anymore at all.
I hate fake banana. Like the kids will have the sweet fake bananas or the fake banana ice cream. They're just like, it's horrible. So if someone was to want to either build muscle first, like weightlifting, or lose fat, what would be the first thing to do? Would you say build muscle or lose
fat? Funny, because I actually was writing an article about this yesterday. My followers are really confused by this as well. So people assume that you have to either bulk or cut, bulk being like you have to eat in a calorie surplus, eating more calories than you burn to build muscle.
Yeah.
And then once you've done that, you then have to go in a calorie deficit to lose all the fat and have your muscle shown. But you can build muscle in a deficit. So if your goal is fat loss and build muscle, you can do that in a deficit. And I think that's kind of like reassuring for people to know, because I get lots of DMs saying like, I don't know which one to do first. You can do both at the same time. So you can just eat in a deficit but have enough protein. And what's really good is that if you're a beginner, there's a concept called like newbie gains, that you will just gain muscle much quicker than someone who's been training for like 3 years or 4 years. So you can just do it in a calorie deficit, obviously assuming your calorie deficit is not extreme, like it's like a healthy sustainable calorie deficit. As long as you have enough protein, you'll be able to lose fat and build muscle, which is kind of a simple explanation. But building muscle isn't just as simple as like eating enough protein. It's like how heavy you lift. Are you doing like different training methods? Like, are you training to failure? Are you having enough sleep and so forth? But overall, to answer that question, is that you can do both at the same time.
Yeah.
And I think be really assuring to some people, because like, for example, I know some people who are so scared to go on a bulk because they don't like how their body looks when they put on some body fat. And that's understandable. Like, you got to do what was going to be healthy for your mind and body and everything.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can do both at the same time.
Yeah. Perfect. And we touched on it earlier about mental health. How does exercise help with mental health?
I'm just like, do I talk about my experience or do I not?
Like, yeah, do it. Go for it. Stories are the best.
It's a known fact that fitness does help with mental health. Because, you know, we have different chemicals in the brain, and then when you're working out, you know, you have some happy chemicals going on, and it is knowing that it really does help with depression. But what I think people need to understand is that if you have low mood and you go to the gym and you feel better after that, that's great. I'm glad that's a good coping mechanism.
Yeah.
But for people with kind of like more severe mental health, like clinical depression, or maybe have severe anxiety, or like schizophrenia, whatever it is, like for example, for me, I have clinical depression. Okay. It isn't as simple for me when I'm in a severe depressive episode to like go to the gym.
Okay.
Because, you know, if you're not eating and you're barely sleeping and you know, and you're feeling really bad about yourself, you can't have that level of consistency as everyone else.
Yeah.
So people that your fitness is great for mental health and you totally should do it, but you need to be kind of like realistic with how you're going to do it. You can't just think, oh, I'm going to do it every single day, because sometimes that's not manageable for people. Yeah. You know, if you're sleeping in bed all day because you're depressed, it's not going to work. So like, even if it's just doing one sit-up in bed once a week, and then like next week increase it to 2 sit-ups in bed, and then a week after maybe do it on your floor, and then slowly build it up, that becomes sustainable.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just totally good for mental health. It makes you feel better as well. You will also mentally feel stronger as well, especially when it comes to like lifting weights. You see yourself lifting heavier each week and you feel better about yourself. So it isn't just about like the chemicals in the brain and all that. It's just about when you see yourself progressing, it makes you feel better as well.
Yeah.
So I totally recommend it. And even when I was underneath secondary care for my mental health, my psychologist likes me, you need to get back into fitness. And I was like, girl, I know. Like, I know the benefits of it, but for a lot of people, it's not as simple as just go to the gym. You have to build up slowly.
Do you
feel good when you go to the gym?
Yeah.
Like, do you find that even, like, when you're feeling low, whatever, when you go to the gym, you feel better?
Yeah, I do. I think I then feel better, so then I'm in a better place in my mind where I can then sort out whatever it was that was... yeah, making me feel bad. But also my kind of go-to is doing exercise outside. Like, I love fresh air, I love being in nature. So doing my own workout outside somewhere, like in a park or something like that, really benefits me. But then a lot of other people like to be in the gym, like to be around other people, and that's fine too. And I think it just depends on what you want to get out of that workout at that specific time.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, I prefer working out as well. Outside as well. It's just nice, especially when the sun's out.
Yeah.
If you're running across the beach, it's so nice. Yes. Calming, therapeutic. Yeah. It's just differently. I love it.
Yeah.
Now we are going to go to a short break. See you the other side.
Hey, hey! I am so excited to tell you about Zen Core Yoga. I am an ambassador for this amazing yoga clothing company, and they want to spread the benefits of yoga, because those who stick with regular yoga practice report themselves to be happier and healthier in life, like me, of course. And Zen Yoga is a Swedish clothing company that designs products for the yoga lifestyle. The company was founded in 2017 and has since then grown to over 70,000 loyal followers all over the world. And these yoga products are absolutely incredible. They are so soft. They have beautiful leggings, beautiful colors, beautiful yoga bras, and they are just incredible. And they are building deep relationships within the yoga community and have gained invaluable insights and understanding of the quality and function of yoga products. Because let's face it, you know, you just could get a cheap pair of leggings and they just go all funny. Whereas these products are absolutely beautiful, really, really nice. So head over to zencoreyoga.com and in the checkout type in YogiGemma15 for a 15% discount. So go over zencoreyoga.com and it's YogiGemma15. So I will see you on the other side. And where did your kind of depression come from? Do you think that has been childhood or somewhere else? Or like, just...
God, we don't have enough time to discuss that. I'll take...
if you want to share, you don't have to, obviously.
It came from childhood. I didn't... I don't know. Oh, that explains what being so morbid. I did not have a good childhood whatsoever. There was multiple forms of abuse, psychological, financial, physical. It just wasn't good. So one day I just packed my stuff and left and never looked back. So I didn't have contact with my siblings or my family whatsoever. Yeah. And obviously that took another toll on my mental health. And then like I've been homeless and I've had to eat from food banks in the past. Wow. So again, that adds to the mental health. So
yeah.
I'm tired. Yeah. All of those things kind of built up. And yes, I have clinical depression and anxiety, which I think anyone would have if they went through what I went through, really.
Because I think so many people, especially with the work I do, like with relationship coaching, everything kind of stems from childhood. So then they get depression because of whatever happened in their childhood, but they don't actually realize it. Same with like an eating disorder or something like that. It might be that they had an eating disorder to cope, as like a coping mechanism. So they were eating so much, and then they were bigger, like in teen years or early 20s. So then they then are stuck because they can't then lose all that weight. But then they go the other way, as in like anorexic. A couple of my friends did go that way. One of them ended up being, I think, what was my dog? My dog was 25 kilos and she was 24 kilos. I'm like, oh my word, she's less than my dog. So yeah, now she's fine. She's a lot better now. But it just, it's awful that the mental health issues of something that, it's not an issue, is it? That's a bad word to say. But like mental health is a big thing, and that we still need to talk about it and find coping mechanisms like exercise or doing other things that will help you, but then also finding the root cause and figuring out how to do that as well. Like with food or exercise or anything about that. Yeah, just different.
Yeah, no, exactly. And like everyone has mental health. I don't think people like realize that. I think people just think when it comes to mental health, it's those with like severe mental health. It's things like schizophrenia, clinical depression, anxiety, bipolar. They don't realize that everyone has a mental health and it's all going to get affected at some point. I mean, like, no matter what experience you have, it affects your mental health, whether it's good or bad. It just depends on how you handle it and if you had anything in the past that triggers it and whatever. So I think like mental health is something for everyone, and I do think it needs to be spoken about like way more. Like when I speak about my clinical depression, people get freaked out.
Yeah.
Boys specifically get freaked out, like boys I'm dating, because they go on my social media and they see that I speak about it.
Yeah.
And then they get put off. But to me,
they're like, triggered then. Yeah.
Yeah, they get just a little bit pathetic. It's like, it's good that someone speaks about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know everything does stem from childhood. So shout out to my parents for that. Yeah.
Thanks. And with like I read the other day actually that the government I think had put in the 10,000 steps a day, the same as like eating 5 fruit and vegetables a day. I think why they've just plucked a number out of the air. How do you kind of navigate that? Would you say that's true or not, or does it depend on the
There is, I have a video on this that goes a bit more in depth. So there isn't any science to prove that 10,000 steps a day is necessary. The 10,000 steps actually came from a Japanese marketing campaign.
Yes, I heard that, yes.
Yeah. So that's exactly how it started. You know, the power of marketing. Yeah. Thanks, we're powerful. And this was like, I can't remember when it is, but it's in a video I have on my profile. But they were doing kind of like a step counter, and 10,000 is just a good number, like it's catchy, do you know what I mean? Instead of like 8,625, 10,000 is something that everyone can easily remember, and it's just stuck since. If you do 10,000 steps a day, that's great. If you find that like going outside and walking as much as you can is great for your mental health or your physical health, go for it, that's great. But what I say to people is that it isn't a must. If you hit 10,000 steps, you're not going to die, it's fine. Like, it's absolutely fine. You don't have to hit 10,000 steps. But I think with the NHS, because it is a big organization, they have to look after, you know, everyone, they do have to kind of put these blanket approach to kind of like save money and help as many people as possible. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just, for example, 2,000 calories a day. For me, if I eat 2,000 calories a day, I will put on body fat. Also, they may actually end up being in a calorie deficit. So like these figures are just kind of like estimations and kind of like ballpark figures. And they just kind of just have to do it because it's a big organization that's trying to cover the whole entire country. But there isn't a need to do 10,000 steps. If you do it, great. If you don't, it's not the end of the world. Research actually suggests that the benefit of 10,000 steps, actually the benefit can drops off after, I think, after 6,000 to 8,000 steps.
Okay.
Obviously benefits your cardiovascular health and all of that. So the benefits actually drop after that, that you don't see any extra benefits walking 10,000 to 20,000.
So
I say, do what you want. If you can get 10,000 steps, then great. If you can't, great. Do you know what I mean? Do whatever you want. Don't feel like you have to achieve that, and don't feel that if you don't achieve it, you're therefore unsuccessful. Yeah. Or if you don't achieve it, your mental health is going to be at risk. Like, don't worry about it. Just do what you can. Even if it's 1,000 steps, that's better than nothing, isn't it?
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Oh, I love that answer. Well done. And with water as well, like, I drink over 2 liters a day. I'm constantly, I can pee for England. But what would you say if someone was just starting out? Would you say like 2 liters is great, or would that again be your specific own body? Because every person, every body is different.
Yeah. So, like you said, every single body is different. There is actually water poisoning as a thing.
Wow.
I know. So I laugh each time I say it, because it's just so like, human body is crazy. Wow. But if you do drink too much water, you're going to dilute the electrolytes in your body.
Yeah.
You've got water poisoning. So you end up feeling like drowsy, lightheaded and all of that. So there is, when it comes to your fluid intake, it doesn't just have to be water. People think if you only drink water, you are healthy. You can literally drink anything. Even on the NHS Eat Well guide, it says that 6 to 8 fluids, cups of fluids.
Yes, yeah, it does actually.
It can be whatever. It doesn't have to be water. So I say to people, you need to feel what works for you, but also checking your urine is a good indicator. Yeah. If your urine is clear, you are drinking way too much. You are overhydrated. Urine shouldn't be crystal clear.
Yeah.
Yeah, for a while mine was, and I was really confused as to why I was dizzy. I learned about water poisoning, and I was like, okay, cool. It just needs to be kind of like a light yellow color, kind of like a lemonade kind of shade.
Yeah,
and that's how you know you're hydrated. But then again, there are other factors involved, like medication, whatever. Obviously, if someone lives in a hot climate, they're gonna have to drink more fluids than someone else. So I think it's just about seeing how your body feels, check your urine, see what color it is, and just do what works for you. For someone else who might be bigger than me, they might need to have like 3 liters. For me, it might be 2.5. So it isn't really one size fit all. But I think, you know, make sure you're drinking enough. If you find that you're not drinking anything at all during the day, like how my best friend does, she doesn't drink anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you need to start drinking something. But don't feel like you're not going to achieve your goals, or you're unhealthy by not having, you know, 2.5 liters a day or anything like that. Just do what your body needs. Your body will tell you. Do you know what I mean? If your mouth is dry, if you feel dizzy, lightheaded, take these signs and drink and hydrate yourself. If you don't like water, that's cool. You don't have to drink water. Do you know what I mean? Have any fluids. Even coffee and tea counts towards your fluid intake.
Yeah.
So yeah, just have whatever. Find something you enjoy and just sip on it slowly throughout the day and you're all good.
Yeah, yeah. Perfect. And I know we're in the middle of the year at the moment, but when it comes to kind of January, everyone's like, new you, new that, let's start afresh. And then by, I don't know, even like mid-January, everyone's just fallen off the bandwagon because they put too much pressure on themselves. How would you kind of say, if you want to start, you don't have to wait until January, you don't have to wait until December. How would you kind of go about that?
I think the reason why people wait till January is because that's where that strike of motivation hits.
Yes.
And then they're like, oh, I'm going to start it now. But what I don't think people realize is that motivation isn't the key to consistency.
Yeah.
Because motivation only comes once in a while. It may come to you only during New Year's Day. It might come to you weeks before Christmas. Motivation isn't something we experience every single day. So if your goal is to start fitness or whatever form it is, or whatever goal it is, it doesn't even have to be fitness. It could be like, I don't know, start writing or something, or reading more. You just need to do small, manageable goals. And it's about discipline. There are going to be days where you don't want to do it, but you're just going to have to do it.
Yeah.
And just a bit smaller, manageable. You know, people feel that if they're going to do fitness, they have to do like an hour session every single time. It's cool if you only do a 5-minute session. As long as you have like daily habits and you do it consistently and you build up to it slowly, you're going to achieve what you need to do. And that's going to help you be consistent. Consistency is key. No one lost weight, or no one works on their mental health. No one achieved a goal by having like one intense, motivated day.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything requires small little goals and doing it over a long period of time. Yeah. When I have new clients, I say to them, they'll be like, oh, I want to work out 7 days a week. And I'm like, well, babes, if you're not doing anything right now, jumping straight to 7 days is unrealistic.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to ask you to do that, because it's just going to become unhealthy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your body's used to it. So, you know, the plan might be like, workout once a week, and then after like 2 weeks I increase it to twice a week, then I might increase it to 3 weeks, like 3 times a week after that, and I might increase like how long the sessions are. It might start just being like, if someone's totally new to fitness and they like don't have enough mobility, I might even give them just a 5 minute session,
yeah,
and like over time increase it to 10 minutes, and then like 15, and then over time you will achieve your goals and you would have been consistent.
Yeah.
So yes, just having it like small manageable goals, and it literally, that concept will work for anything in life. It doesn't just have to be like fitness. I know that you like yoga, don't you?
Yeah.
So when it comes to poses, you're not going to learn it all in one go, are you? Yeah. It's like some poses with your leg behind the back, your back, and like, yeah, if your flexibility is in there, you can't do it. You're going to have to do small manageable goals every single day. You work on your flexibility,
yeah,
work on your core strength, yeah, you know, work on your core stability, then over time you are going to achieve it. So just like small manageable goals.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Because also when I became a mum, I didn't have an hour to go to the gym. So exactly. I was then, everyone was like, oh, how have you just got back to your pre-pregnancy weight? And it's like, well, I'm doing 5 or 10 minutes here. And then when I'm feeding them in the high chair or something, I'm doing a squat. Or when we're at the park, I'm using the park equipment to do stuff. So I'm still pushing them on the swings, but I'm still squatting, or I'm doing like a burpee or something like that. And it's building around your lifestyle. So yeah, you don't have to go to the gym 3 times a week for an hour because you don't have the time. So it's then trying to just change it all around. And yeah, I think it's just, again, everybody is different.
Exactly. And like, I think with some people, they might hear this and might be like, well, if my goal is fat loss, I do have to train every day.
Yeah.
No, you don't. It's about your diet more than anything, really. So we can, yeah, just lower the calories, or we can increase like whatever it is. So I think it's just like working around, like you said, to what your schedule is. For you, yeah, if you can fit 5 minute workout a day and someone else can fit an hour, that's cool. Wherever your goal is, we can manage it and tailor it accordingly to achieve your goals. As long as you're consistent, that's what's important. Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's going to be lots of mums out there that feel the same way, that they're just, they can't get an hour workout in because they have responsibilities. They have more responsibilities than someone who isn't a parent. You know, you have to look after living people and you have to feed them, yeah, and look after them and make sure they're okay. And sometimes it's hard to put your needs first. You just have to like tailor it and work around what you can. And it's great that you're out there squatting in the park. I think, yeah, it would be quite a sight to look at that. See you like pushing the kids and squat. I think it would be quite cool to look at. But you know,
I did that with a client. I said, like, just go out and get, yeah, for fresh air, take the kids to the park. And because she was feeling really low and depressed and the relationship was going and stuff like that, but I said, right, just go and do some squats. It doesn't matter what anyone's looking, if anyone's looking at you. But she was so self-conscious and she's like, I can't do that. I was like, well, it doesn't matter, just think of everyone as being completely naked, then that just puts you right off. And she was like, okay, I'll do that. So she just did it. I was like, yeah, it's really cool. But I think, yeah, a lot of people are worried about working out outside rather than, yeah, in a gym or at home, especially if they have just had a baby or they just feel that they're not confident in their body, and then everyone's looking at them. It's like, well, no one's looking at you. They're just going about their daily business. It's you thinking that.
Yeah, and the thing is with that, whether it's like doing it outside or even at the gym, people always are going to struggle with confidence.
Yeah.
Like for me, I do not feel confident when I'm doing a new movement at the gym. I'm like, am I doing this right? Are people looking at me? Are people think I'm doing it wrong? But it's about exposure. Like for me, obviously with my mental health, I go into severe depressive episodes and I might not actually end up doing any form of fitness for months at a time. So when, yeah, I go back to the gym, my anxiety is through the roof. And there's been times where I've just run out because I'm like, I can't do this. I feel like people are, yeah, watching me. And I find that just with constant exposure to the situation, like, yeah, for your client to be, you know, doing squats at the park or wherever it is, or just doing it in between swing sets or whatever, when you consistently expose yourself to the situation, you're going to get comfortable with the situation, and, yeah, then you're going to be absolutely fine. It's just consistency, exposure, and you will overcome it. Because at the end of the day, you don't want to look back at things and be like, oh, I didn't achieve my fitness goals because I was worried what people will think, yeah, I was doing, or I looked silly by doing squats in the park.
Yeah,
who are you going to blame then, are you?
Yeah,
you're going to
have, yeah,
everyone worried of judgment, yeah, and it's just affecting so many ways. So just go ahead and do it.
Yeah,
do you know, people like, just think about like Phoebe and Friends when she's like running. Yes. Have you seen that scene?
I love that. Like,
He's like, I do it because it's fun. And you know what? That looks way more fun.
Yeah.
And
there's
people are going to look. People are going to look and judge no matter what you do.
Yeah.
So just go ahead and do it anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
run like Phoebe, guys. Run like Phoebe.
And going back to nutrition, would you say it's 80-20 rule of 80% nutrition or in the kitchen, 20% exercise or at the gym or wherever? Or is there a different kind of percentage?
I wouldn't. The thing with me, percentages, I think maybe it's because I'm just bad at maths. But for me, I was just like, what is exactly 80-20? Do you know what I mean? Like when you're, like, how are we quantifying it when it comes to eating and like living? How are we exactly quantifying 80-20? I think it might look different for everyone. I just say, you know, eat what you want and eat what you want in moderation. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? You don't have to cut out anything. I like Mackey's. I like McDonald's a lot. And if I go once a week, that's absolutely fine. If it's in my calories, that's cool. So I just say, like, do what you want, enjoy it. You know, life is too short to create all these restrictions. And I'm not quite sure how 80-20 would work, like, practically. Like, I maybe it's because I'm bad at maths, but I don't know if I'm going to be like, oh, is this 81 or 82? Like, I don't know. But I think just do what you feel comfortable with.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just eat what you want. I just don't think we should, like, fear anything. If you have, like, a week of celebrations and you end up eating more kind of like calorie dense things or food that doesn't have too much, that isn't very nutrients dense, that is fine because it's just like 1 week or like one day. It isn't going to define your goal and it isn't going to affect your goal too much. It's absolutely fine. So just do whatever that works for you and whatever you're comfortable with. Like for me personally, I don't cut out anything.
Yeah.
I still have everything I like. I just do everything in moderation. And that's what helps you be consistent, because I got a lot of people that, again, when I do like Q&A's on Instagram, they say to me that they will eat clean for like a week and I'm like, oh, what on earth is eating clean? And they'll be like, after that I can't I'm not consistent with it. And it's like, because you're cutting out way too much. You know, maybe 80-20 for someone might be a bit too much, for someone else it might be perfect. So I just say that, you know, don't cut anything. There's no such thing as like clean eating. Food, either nutrients dense or calorie dense. Just eat whatever you want in moderation and whatever helps you feel good, and then you'll be fine.
Yes, I love that. And what are three things to sum up today's conversation?
Oh, okay.
Put you on the spot now.
Follow us on social media. I'm joking. I would say.
Yeah, go for that.
Oh, I don't know.
We've spoken about so much.
Small manageable goals.
Yeah.
No matter what your goal is in life, whether it's reading a book, writing a story or whatever, fitness, nutrition, yoga, whatever it is, small manageable goals. Education is key to everything. So, you know, if you understand how your body works and how nutrition works, then you'll be more realistic with results. You won't think that you're going to lose all the body fat you want in 1 week or 2 weeks. Do you know what I mean? I think education is key. So small manageable goals, education is key. And the last one be like, I think you might need to help me on this one. What else have we spoken about?
10,000 steps. Get going, just move, doesn't matter.
And the last one is do what works for you, I guess.
Yeah.
We all have different goals or different lifestyles. Do what works for you. And don't worry about anyone else, because your goals is for you. And if you don't achieve it, no one else can help you with that. So just do what works for you, I guess.
Yeah. Perfect. And where can we find you? What's your website or your social media channels?
Sorry, my laptop's going to shut down. So I'm Isabella Murray UK across all social media. And my website is isabella-murray.com, which is linked to my socials. So I have a free fat loss course there, calorie deficit calculator, just Isabella Murray UK.
Perfect. Oh, thank you so much. It's been such a great conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. You're absolutely lovely. And I've definitely enjoyed the conversation.
Thank you so much for being here with me today. It means the world to me and my heart is so full of gratitude right now. If you are feeling pulled to, I would love you to leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whatever they're called,
or Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from, whichever platform you are on. Leave a review, even do a 5-star rating if you fancy it. And yes, go and follow me over on Instagram at gemma.haley.niece, or I'm on LinkedIn as Gemma Niece. So thank you so much for being here, and always reach out to me. I'm always have my DMs open, as again, Instagram at gemma.haley.niece or LinkedIn, or go on my website, which is www.gemmaniece.com. So thank you so much, and I will see you again next week.